All right, so we're diving into something pretty fascinating today. We've got Elmer Hard Lannert's letters to his sweetheart, Helen Andrews. They were written between 1916 and 1920.
Wow.
Yeah, talk about a pivotal time period. World War I, the Spanish flu.
Yeah, a world in flux.
Exactly. And in the middle of it all, we have this love story unfolding.
And it's really incredible how, Elmer uses these letters to almost like build his own narrative. You can tell he's carefully crafting an image of himself, of their relationship.
Oh, absolutely. He's laying his heart bare for sure. He uses all those endearing pet names, honey, sweetheart, darling.
Right.
But at the same time, you can feel those insecurities creeping in. Anxieties about school, about work, about proving himself worthy of Helen.
It really makes you wonder what was going through her mind, Like, what did she make of all this?
Right. Like, was she swept away by his romantic declarations, or was there a part of her that maybe saw through it a little bit?
It's like, what? We're getting this one perspective, this very deliberate presentation. He's thinking about what he's writing, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And he's clearly worried about the war, about being drafted, that sort of thing.
Which, speaks to the expectations of men during that time. It wasn't just about love, it was about duty and responsibility. And you can really sense that struggle in his letters, trying to reconcile those expectations with his feelings for Helen.
It's like he's caught between a rock and a hard place, you know? This massive historical forces, and then this very human desire for connection and stability.
Absolutely.
And speaking of connection, those early letters from 1916, before the war really takes hold,
Right.
they have this youthful optimism to them. And he talks a lot about their shared memories in Bellevue, especially the library.
Interesting.
It makes me wonder, was the library like a hotspot for courting back then?
Well, it definitely seems to be a recurring theme for them. It speaks to that early courtship, maybe a place where they could just get away from it all.
Find a quiet corner.
Exactly. But even in those early letters, you start to see these little hints of tension. Like, he describes this dream he had where he sees Helen with another boy.
Oh no.
And he wakes up and writes that he feels anful, is how he spells it. But it's a small detail, but I think it reveals a lot about his fear of losing her.
Oh, absolutely. Like, even in those early stages, it
Exactly.
just shows how powerful dreams can be, right? They reveal so much about what's really going on beneath the surface.
Totally. And that tension, it kind of escalates when Elmer heads off to dental school in Omaha in 1917.
Oh, yeah, things definitely get more complicated.
The distance, the pressure of his studies, the looming threat of war, it all weighs on him.
There's a lot to deal with.
It really is. And you see this reflected in his letters, this sense of being pulled in all these different directions.
Yeah, he's being pulled every which way.
But what I find interesting is that even with all that external pressure, it's often Helen's actions that seem to cause him the most distress.
That's such a fascinating aspect of this, isn't it? Because we've only got his side of the story.
Exactly.
But we see this recurring theme where he's seeking her forgiveness, you know?
Right.
He's saying things like, Helen, sometimes you make me feel bad the way you say things. And he gets so defensive whenever he hasn't written as much, over-explaining himself. It's like he's constantly trying to read her mind, figure out what she's feeling.
And that's where the lack of her voice, her letters, becomes even more noticeable. What was she doing or saying that made him react that way?
Such a good question. Like, was she intentionally being distant? Or was this just him projecting his own insecurities onto their relationship? It's hard to know for sure.
We're left to speculate.
And that's part of what makes these letters so fascinating to me. It's like we're getting this very specific glimpse into a relationship, but it's incomplete. And it makes you think about how much we don't know about even the people closest to us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good reminder that there are always multiple sides to every story.
It really is like watching a relationship unfold against the backdrop of all this global uncertainty.
Yeah, exactly.
And as the war intensifies, Elmer's letters get even more emotional. By the summer of 1918, Helen's back in Burlington, and it
Wow.
seems like she might be teaching there.
Possibly.
And Elmer is just like eaten up with longing for her.
It's interesting, these letters from this period. He's working at an auto garage to earn some money, which I think gives us this really fascinating little glimpse into what it was like to be a young man during that time.
Trying to find his place.
Exactly. Trying to establish himself, with the war going on and everything. But then he also mentions meeting other women.
Okay, so now things are getting a little
Right.
complicated.
It makes you wonder, what was the state of their relationship at this point? Was he trying to, like, make her jealous or something?
Oh, interesting.
Or were these just, like, harmless flirtations, just something to fill the void while she was away.
It's hard to say.
It really is. But it definitely adds another layer to their story.
It really does. And you're right, those uncertainties weren't just on a personal level. I mean, the war was impacting everything.
Totally.
Even Elmer's education was up in the air.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We even have this Creighton University bulletin here.
Right.
And it's urging students who've been drafted to, like, come forward and let them know.
Wow.
Can you imagine being in his shoes, knowing that at any moment your life could change completely?
That's a lot of pressure.
All your plans put on hold.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Even with all of that hanging over his head, Elmer is still making plans for a future with Helen.
That's amazing, actually.
He graduates from dental school. He actually starts his own practice.
Wow, that's impressive.
He even buys equipment for his office.
He doesn't waste any time.
It's really a testament to his, I don't know, like his resilience.
Definitely.
His determination to build this life for them no matter what.
You can really feel that in his writing.
You know, he even includes this newspaper clipping.
Right.
And it has an ad for his dental practice. And right next to it, there's this ad for a LaBelle Bath Institute. It's just this little snapshot of life back then.
I love those little details.
But it also shows his pride, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, he's so excited about what he's accomplished. And you get the feeling he's showing off a little bit for Helen.
Of course.
Hoping to impress her.
Yeah. Reassuring her that, you know, he's working towards something.
Towards that future where they can finally be together.
Exactly.
And that need for reassurance, it's in so many of his letters.
Yeah, it's a constant thread.
He'll talk about marriage, their finances, finding a place to live.
All the practical stuff.
You know, all the things you need to figure out when you're starting a life together.
Right.
But he's also looking for her input, her approval. It's actually kind of vulnerable.
It is.
Like, he needs to know she's just as invested as he is.
Absolutely.
Which is why it's even more noticeable that we don't have her side of the story.
Right. We're missing that crucial piece.
It's like he's building this whole future with her as the foundation.
Yeah.
But he needs that confirmation that she wants the same things.
And then there's that letter from June 21st, 1917.
Oh, yeah, that's a powerful one.
He writes, "You, Helen, dear man, I just wouldn't know what to do if you should go back on me. Please, dear, think of me always as I love you more and more every day."
Wow. Talk about wearing your heart on your sleeve.
All his big plans, all his declarations of love.
Yeah.
And he's still so insecure.
Yeah, you can feel that desperation.
Like, he needs to hear her say it back.
That she's not going anywhere.
Exactly. It really makes you wonder if there were times when Helen did pull back a little.
When she maybe had doubts of her own.
It's certainly possible.
We can only speculate.
That's part of what makes these letters so compelling.
It's true. They show us just how complex relationships can be. But they also leave us with so many questions.
And don't forget, we're only getting one side of the story.
Right.
Elmer is presenting a very specific narrative here.
It's true.
He's choosing what to share, what to leave out.
Exactly. It's entirely possible that Helen's letters, if we had them, would tell a completely different story. It really makes you think, you know, about how there are always two sides to every story. We've spent all this time digging into Elmer's thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
His anxieties, his longing for Helen, his dreams of their future together.
Right.
But what about Helen's perspective? Like, what were her hopes and dreams?
It's a great question, and it's something that we keep coming back to, especially during a time when women had such limited opportunities.
Exactly. I mean, we know she may have been a teacher.
Which was a respectable profession for a woman back then, but still.
Still, it makes you wonder, did she picture herself in that traditional wife and mother role?
Right. Like, did she share Elmer's vision?
Or did she have different aspirations?
Maybe she wanted something more than what society expected of her.
It's fascinating to consider. And then there's the whole issue of those moments where Elmer mentions tension in their relationship.
Right, those little glimpses of disagreement.
He talks about things she did or said that upset him, made him feel unsure of himself.
And we can speculate all day long, but
without her letters.
Exactly. We'll never know the full story.
Were they just small disagreements, blown out of proportion because of the distance?
Or was there something more fundamental going on?
Something that maybe Elmer is trying to downplay in his letters.
Possibly. It's like, we're looking at this puzzle, and half the pieces are missing.
Such a good analogy.
We're seeing the version of events that Elmer wants to present, but
we can't help but feel like there's more to it.
Always. And, you know, it makes you wonder, if we did have Helen's letters?
Oh, man, imagine that.
Would she describe their relationship in the same way?
Probably not, which is why this whole deep dive has been so thought-provoking.
It really has.
We started with this collection of love letters, this seemingly intimate window into the past.
Right.
And it's been fascinating to unpack that, to see how Elmer uses these letters to present himself, to shape the narrative of their relationship.
Absolutely. It highlights how subjective personal histories can be.
So true.
We're always filtering our experiences through our own lens.
Choosing what to emphasize, what to leave out.
Exactly. And that's what makes studying history, especially personal histories, so challenging and so rewarding.
It is, because we can never truly know the whole story.
Right. We only get these glimpses, these fragments.
And I think that's a good reminder for us, you know,
about
how the stories we tell ourselves, the memories we hold on to, they're just one version of events.
Absolutely.
And sometimes the most interesting stories are the ones that are left untold, the ones that we can only imagine.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said. And on that note, I think we've done a pretty good job of unpacking Elmer's side of things.
We've definitely given these letters the deep dive treatment.
We have. But who knows what other secrets are hiding in these pages?
Or what we might find if Helen's letters ever resurface.
Now, wouldn't that be something?
It would be incredible. But for now, we'll just have to keep those questions in the back of our minds.
Let them simmer.
Exactly. And who knows, maybe it'll inspire some of our listeners to take a closer look at their own family histories.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
You never know what stories are waiting to be discovered.
That's what I always say. Well, on that note, I think it's time for us to sign off.
Until next time.
This was fantastic.